The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
I have PCOS, so I'm very excited to have this conversation with you. So thank you for joining the podcast today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So I would love if you would give us a lead up to, you know, I think like so many women founders have these moments where you have hit like a complete wall and you're like, I need to disrupt whatever is happening right here. So I'd love for you to walk us through that process. I know you also have like an interesting perspective as a founder in this space because your daddy was in OB, which I just love so much.
Yeah, I always say Alara for me really is such a personal journey. And really at the end of the day, like all that I built was just something that I was desperately seeking as a patient.
Yeah,
I have PCOS myself, as you do. So I was really excited about this conversation. And what I found in kind of my PCOS journey is that, you know, if you ask somebody like, who's the specialist I should go to for my PCOS, you know, a really good PCOS specialist, the kind of thing you would do if you had any other medical condition, people are going to scratch their heads and say, what is that? Or I don't really know.
I can't tell you how often people DM me or message me and they're like, hey, can you send me a PCOS doctor? And I'm like, that's not a thing.
Exactly. It is not a thing in traditional healthcare. And that's because in traditional women's health, we cover two ends of the spectrum really well. We cover primary care really well. And I've seen that, you know, through the lens of my dad being an OBGYN, seeing how great of an experience it can be if you're one of his patients and, you know, you have pretty low complexity GYN needs or, you know, you're pregnant and you're going through OB care. And we also have a lot of options for you if you need really intense help. So if you need IVF, you're doing egg freezing, we have reproductive endocrinologists who can help you go through those kind of intense procedures. But those are really one-off things. And if you're a patient like you or me who struggles with a chronic hormonal health condition like PCOS, there really is no such thing as specialty care in women's health right now. And that was something that I really acutely felt the pain point of. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed with PCOS myself when I was about 20. And even though my dad's an OBGYN and I could theoretically go to the best of the best of any doctor of any specialist I wanted, I just found like there really was nobody to go to when it came to PCOS care. And so I kind of just became more and more frustrated for 10 plus years until actually it was in COVID and I was sitting at home in lockdown and bored and frustrated. And also, honestly, I was single and I was like, oh my God, what if I like never have kids because the world's ending and I didn't freeze my eggs in time? And I was just like, I just have all these questions. And you know what? I don't think anybody else at this point, like I've been waiting for somebody else to fix this for me and it doesn't seem like that's happening. So I'm just going to build what I've been looking for. And so that really was the genesis of Alara, was to be that place where, you know, if somebody asks you, what's a really great PCOS specialist? You could say Alara. And Alara is really kind of that home-based resource for women struggling with any sort of chronic or complex hormonal health need, whether that's PCOS, whether that's hypothyroidism, even conditions like endometriosis. We have really specially trained expert doctors, nurse practitioners, and even registered dietitians to give patients a really holistic whole health and expert care experience.
The Alara Instagram does a really good job of explaining that PCOS manifests itself into symptoms that are extremely different from person to person. So can you tell me what your symptoms were and how you found out that you had PCOS?
Yeah. So I actually am one of those people who struggled to get a diagnosis partially because I didn't fit the textbook PCOS case. So in PCOS world, there's kind of more textbook case, which is tends to have a lot of metabolic health and weight management issues too. And again, even though that's actually true, what people don't realize is you can have all the metabolic health issues without actually having the weight issues either. So it's a bit dangerous to say, you know, just because you have typical type, but that's kind of typically like how we kind of categorize it is into more typical and lean type. And so because I didn't have a lot of those physical symptoms, I didn't necessarily have really bad acne as a teenager. I actually did develop it later, so that was fun.
I got mine in my 20s as well.
Yes, exactly. I got it in my 20s. So I was like, great, I thought I like skipped that whole phase. Mm-hmm. But I did have really irregular periods. So I had periods maybe like once a year.
Okay, so how was that? Like, your dad's an OB.
Yeah.
Nobody was flagging that a period once a year was a little weird.
No, I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I was actually really, and I think this is something that happens a lot with these conditions. I was embarrassed. I was like, all my friends were there being like, oh, I get my period every, you know, every month. And, you know, when you're like 14, 15, it's like kind of exciting to get your period still. Oh my God,
yeah, totally.
Yeah. So you're like, oh yeah, I'm like this normal. And I was like, I'm too embarrassed to tell people that I get it like once a year. So I just didn't tell anybody.
Classic.
And so nobody really knew until finally I was like, when I was like 20, I was like, huh, I probably should like look into this, maybe
shed my uterine lining a little more.
Yeah, like maybe I should look into this. But and I think that happens a lot with women's health, right? Like we feel like we're different, and so you just don't say anything or you don't address it, when actually that could lead to some really dangerous health outcomes. And the other thing I had actually, which is interesting, which is not necessarily a PCOS symptom, but we know is tied to PCOS a lot or tends to show up in a lot of patients, is I had a lot of gut health issues. So I had like IBS, I had a lot of stomach things going on. So it actually was in investigating my stomach issues that I ended up finding out that I had PCOS, because I got an ultrasound, and it was actually the ultrasound tech who saw it in my ovaries. She saw like the cysts in my ovaries and helped me diagnose it. So it was actually like a total fluke, because again, I presented atypically. But I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions about a condition like PCOS is it's not the same in everybody. It's a very different patient to patient. And relying on things like, do you have a ton of acne, is not necessarily helpful to all patients.
Well, and you, I mean, we have so many different phases of our life. I mean, I got my period when I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was in eighth grade, I had cysts that were rupturing. My period was 2 weeks long, unmanageable. I had horrible gut issues, which led to like anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. I had copious amounts of weight gain, for which they gave me Adderall in high school.
You gave Adderall for weight gain?
Well, I had, my gut was completely disrupted in a total mess. And I couldn't, I remember all my memories of school are me trying to like not fall asleep, or me like trying to focus, and my brain fog was so intense that it was unmanageable. Like I can pinpoint moments where I'm sitting in class, like listening to my history teacher, and I'm just like, minutes are passing like hours. And it was because I was just in a complete mess, like nothing was functioning. And so they were like, here's Adderall for your concentration, but it'll help you with your weight situation too. And I was like, oh my God.
But that's like kind of textbook, right? Like I think I got told like, oh, your periods are regular. Okay, here's birth control. And like nobody looked at it again for 10 years.
Yeah. They put me on birth control in eighth grade. And then I was on spironolactone. Then I was on, you know, it's just, I was like, all these people are throwing pills at me. By the way, medications that I know you openly speak of, as do I, like helpful medications if used correctly, of course. Yes. But I didn't get diagnosed with PCOS until after I had my daughter. And that was like a year and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah, I'm 37 years old.
That is like,
I had like hair growing out of my chin, gaining
30 to 40 pounds with like,
you know, like you always mentioned, like it comes with such disordered eating, because I was pre-diabetic so many times. All my doctors would say, you need to lose weight, your BMI is too high. And I'm like, I'm literally eating lettuce.
Yeah. Like, and not one doctor was like, you have the acne, you have the hair, you have the weight, like you have the period history. Let's look into PCOS.
No, because think about it. And I know you went through this too. You go to the dermatologist and they give you the spironolactone. So you go to your primary care physician and they're like, oh, here's some Adderall, whatever. You're not constant. You know, you can't focus, like blah, 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 blah. You go to your OB, you have cysts, they give you birth control. There wasn't this, oh, I'm going to piece all these things together. And that's clearly happening now.
Especially since women like you are creating companies like Olaria, but even
you being on podcasts
and screaming this from the rooftops as much as possible is making us advocate more for ourselves in doctor's office, is saying like,
I know that acne plus this, plus this, plus this, you know, I demand an ultrasound. It doesn't cost you anything.
Yes.
Give me an ultrasound, you know?
Yes.
I had to go to a different doctor on the other side of town to be like, can you just give me an ultrasound? Like, I need to know what's going on.
Yes.
And she was like, oh my God, you have PCOS. Yeah.
And that's, I will say two things that are kind of crazy to me from this story is, I mean, one, that it took you so long to get a diagnosis, which is, it's unacceptable, but frankly, it's what we see is very common. So we know on average, half of women with PCOS are undiagnosed with it. And even if you get a diagnosis, on average, it took you 3 doctors and 3 years to get that diagnosis.
Yeah.
And to exactly your point, it's not because it's so hard to diagnose. All you need is, you know, speaking to the patient, blood work, and maybe an ultrasound, but oftentimes you don't even need that. It's because you need a doctor who will run all those tests for you. And that is what's actually horrifying to me, speaking to some of our patients who say, like, this is the first time a doctor ever checked my insulin levels and checked if I was pre-diabetic. Or this is the first time a doctor ever like looked at my hormones like this. And mm-hmm. the fact that you have to do so much begging and advocating in our traditional health system is just frankly a little terrifying.
Very. And I feel bad for doctors because you go to medical school. I mean, my dad was a dentist. I know your dad's an OB. Mm-hmm. Obviously very different fields, but like they're doing their best.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They are doing their best, but the system is not set up
yeah,
for them
exactly.
too.
I'm so glad you said that actually, because I think sometimes there is this feeling like, oh, doctors are just against us and almost, and I've even seen people who are like, well, I'm just going to go the totally natural route and like never speak to a doctor. And I think what you said is so true. Like in a lot of cases, it's not their fault. It's that, you know, the way that the system's set up mm-hmm. in traditional health settings, they're seeing 5-6 patients an hour. They're jumping in and out. And they're doing, in the case of your annual GYN visit, they're doing a lot of your primary care stuff. So by the time they've done, you know, your pap, your checkup, your breast exam, like they don't necessarily have time to go into all of that or else the next patient's going to be 30 minutes late for their visit. And so I always like to say a lot of times it's not really the doctor. It's the format in which they're practicing. And if we let them, if we find doctors who can just focus on these conditions and have longer video visits and have more time with you, like that can be the difference versus the doctor being the problem.
If there's one thing I've been missing right now during this pregnancy, it's just like to sip on an ice cold hard seltzer. But that's why I'm excited to tell those of you who can drink about Truly and how they are truly shaking things up with their new party pack. Truly believes that life can be more refreshing when we can be real, let loose, embrace imperfection, and allow ourselves to be free from convention. That's why Truly has something for everyone in more than 30 unique flavors, including 3 lightly flavored mix packs like berry and the new party pack. Truly hard seltzers are a fan favorite. And you know what? I miss it. I miss it every day. With 4 fan favorites, including brand new raspberry, it's got a little something for everyone. So bring it to wine night, bring it to book club, wherever. Like, it's just so nice to show up with a little refreshing cocktail for your friends. That's what all of my girlfriends and I do when it's warm outside. We let our kids run around. Maybe there's a little swimming. And we get a nice little cooler and we sip on a delicious, refreshing beverage. Each flavor is super light, crazy refreshing, made with real fruit juice. And with only 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and this is my favorite, 1 gram of sugar in each can. This is why this was my favorite thing to grab. There's 1 gram of sugar. It is the perfect drink to keep you on track for any resolution you have. You're not drinking all these empty calories. I really love Truly. And if you would like to find some Truly Hard Seltzer for yourself, go to trulyhardseltzer.com/locations. That's trulyhardseltzer.com/locations. Truly Hard Seltzer. Keep it light. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Mary Alice Haney.
And I'm Dr. Thais Aliabadi.
Dr. A, as she is known, is a world-renowned OBGYN. And together, we're launching a new podcast, SheMD, to empower women to become their own health advocate.
We're providing women with the knowledge and tools to really own their own health.
With celebrity guests and today's leading experts, we're dropping episodes every Tuesday. So listen and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode.
Talk to me about the process of somebody signing up for Alara.
Yeah. So a lot of our patients are actually finding us on social. we really take like an information first philosophy. So my goal is, whether or not you ever work with us, like, I want every woman to be more empowered, more educated about her body and the health system. And, you know, whether you're getting better care through us or because you're advocating for yourself. But for patients who do find us, it's a pretty easy onboarding process. So you sign up for a membership. And actually, for about 75% of our patients now, we're able to take insurance for visits. So
Amazing. And oftentimes,
yeah, it's not even necessarily any more expensive than going to that OBGYN in person. You would just pay your copay plus a small kind of concierge membership fee.
Which and I have to do at my doctor now. They just added the concierge fee because
insurance prices are so high.
Yes. Yeah. So they're tough. And also, we really do have a lot of concierge add-on. Like, we have a literal concierge team who will help you with appointments, help you with referrals. If you need in-person referrals, if you need an ultrasound, they'll help you find one. So we really like it to be like very high touch, high care medicine. But again, your doctor's visits are just the same way it works at any other doctor's office, but it's all via video and it's longer visits. So for your initial visit, you have 30 minutes with your provider. So you get to go through your full medical history, all of your concerns, kind of like all the things where you're like, I've noticed this weird thing that like, I'm not sure if I should ask somebody about because I'm not sure if it's a big enough deal. Like, that's all the things you can talk about in this visit. And if you don't have a diagnosis already, we can diagnose you. If you do have a diagnosis, then we can kind of jump straight into management. But kind of regardless of where you're starting, we run a very extensive set of labs for every single patient. So for every single patient, your next step after that first 30-minute visit is to get all of your blood work done. So, and we're testing over 40 biomarkers. So everything from, you know, your hormone levels to, you know, your thyroid levels to your cholesterol and your metabolic health markers and your insulin levels and even things like your CRP to test your inflammation, your vitamin D levels. Like, it's a very comprehensive set of tests that normally you would have to go to an out-of-pocket, very expensive functional medicine doctor for. It's all kind of running through us through insurance. And then you have another visit to review all of those labs really in depth with your doctor, go through what all of it means. And from there, we kind of have two different kind of treatment pathways. One is to continue to work with your doctor, and they'll do medication management. They'll do all of those things you need. But we also, for patients, have registered dietitians to work with, because we know that in so many cases, actually nutrition therapy is such a huge determinant of success. And often it's medication alone is not enough. It's really combining medication and nutrition therapy that is really impactful.
I have to pause here to really emphasize that, because I did a podcast a couple weeks ago. I have these podcasts where I talk about my favorite things. And I did an episode where I was talking about what I've learned to manage my PCOS has carried me through into this pregnancy, to where like I'm, you know, 6 months pregnant, and outside of like, you know, the giant basketball that's sitting on my stomach, I feel amazing. And it's because I now, like, non-negotiable, follow all of the rules, and not rules, but follow all of the tips that I learned in managing my PCOS. High protein, the right kind of carbohydrates, making sure there's a lot of vegetables and good fat. You know,
I know that you've talked about this before, like being told that like a banana is like a scary thing to eat, you know, and like, you know, so
many women have gone down these paths where you like
hear that like you shouldn't be doing this because this, you know, but like understanding, obviously you can eat a banana that should also be paired with like a healthy fat so your body can absorb it slowly and not give you a spike. And like, maybe that should be paired with like a little bit of activity to like help you. And I think that like we cannot undermine diet here. Like, because, and I, unfortunately, a lot of people with PCOS, you know, once you go down the rabbit hole, because there is so much information, you will oftentimes hear like, stay away from gluten and dairy. Like, I don't have to do that. I'm able to manage it by making smart choices around it. And like, but there is just nothing better than understanding what food can do for your body, truly.
It's so true. And it's so interesting, actually, because I think I actually had this misconception about registered dietitians before I started working with so many of them. And I think a lot of people think this as well. I think a lot of people think that, like, they help you lose weight, like they're weight loss coaches. And actually, that is the furthest thing from what they do. It really is nutrition therapy. And nutrition therapy actually has nothing to do with losing weight. Like, that might be a byproduct of it, but it's really about nutrition adequacy. So for example, when they're working with patients who maybe need to lose weight, or, you know, maybe they're eating too much sugar, they're not necessarily focusing on, okay, cut down your sugar. It's, let's think about adequacy. Like, what are you not getting enough of in your diet that you really need to have? And as a byproduct, you're probably going to eat less of the bad things. So are you getting enough protein? Okay, if not, let's figure out how to add more protein. Are you getting enough fiber? Are you getting enough vegetables? Like, these things that, to your point, are so important for nutrition can really be life-changing for people. And it isn't about like rules or about dieting. It's about, again, nutrition and making sure you have enough nutritious things in your diet to help you feel your best.
Absolutely. And by the way, like, what I have to like work, I can't just like do whatever I want at work all day long, the same way I can't like drink alcohol all day long, yeah. Or like the same way I can't like eat only what like I quote unquote want all day long. But by the way, when I manage my blood sugar, like I am shocked by the fact that I have had no cravings during this entire 6 months of my pregnancy.
Wow.
Where with my daughter, it was like going to bed, thinking about what I could eat the next day.
What eating that meal, thinking about what my next meal was, like, I would be like screaming at my husband, like, you gotta go to the store and get me. And you know, we also grow up with
that being shown to us in movies and on television. Mm-hmm. And it becomes part of this narrative of like, you know, women can't control themselves and we have to be like,
you know, these like ice cream eating humans when we, and by yeah. the way, I love indulging. I went and had an ice cream sundae with my husband and my daughter the other night and it was fucking fantastic. But I think that it dumbs down a woman a little bit to me and
yeah,
it bothers
totally.
Me. And my cravings have completely gone away.
Yeah, which is true. When you're getting enough of like all the right healthy things, you do have less cravings because your body feels like nutritionally fulfilled versus mm-hmm. if you're not getting that, then you're going to crave those things. And I think we actually don't talk enough about like being set up for success in pregnancy is really important from a health perspective. Like if you go into your pregnancy not only feeling good, but frankly, like having good lab values, your metabolic health is in a mm-hmm. good place, your insulin levels are in a good place, you're probably going to have a much better, healthier, easier pregnancy than if you go into it where your health is feeling a little more out of control. And that's actually something we even talk to patients about, where if patients are, you know, starting to try to conceive, we talk to them about, okay, how do we help you get your health to the best place before you get pregnant? Because you're probably going to be much more successful too.
I got pregnant. I was doing everything I was supposed to, but too nervous to track and try because it took me so long with my first daughter. Like it took me so long that fear was kind of coming back. And then I got pregnant without even trying because I was doing
You know, taking my inositol,
you know, taking like the PCOS formula from Parallel is like really has everything you need in it for PCOS, the conception pack, the amount of protein. And I'd love to get into next, like what you talk about often is like
letting go of the stress of these things, which I know it sounds counterintuitive being like, we need to focus on these things, but like they become intuitive. And so you become less stressed.
Like I'd love for you to talk about like stress management and PCOS a little bit.
Yeah. I think a lot of this actually has to do with kind of some of the other things we're talking about where PCOS is not one size fits all. There are not these rules like eat gluten and dairy free that can apply to everybody. And I think that's something that has been really missing is, you know, because we haven't had a ton of options in the healthcare system, I think a lot of women have turned to social media for advice and for information. And while I think it can be a really great tool, the problem with social media is you cannot have a nuanced conversation. Like, you mm-hmm. don't know if that post is meant for you or if it's meant for the person next to you who has like a slightly different kind of PCOS and needs something else. And so if all you're relying on are kind of these things that work on Instagram, you're going to start seeing things that are very rigid because they don't have any room for nuance on social media. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like cut out gluten and dairy or don't do any HIIT workouts or don't run, things like this that I think a lot of women, again, because they don't know what else to do, because they don't feel like they have a lot of other resources, are trying. And when you are doing things that are one size fits all, as opposed to what maybe works for your body and allowing yourself that trial and error of what works, I think that is where a lot of stress comes from. So, mm-hmm. you know, I also was one of those people who like, I tried cutting out gluten and dairy. That was horrible. I hated it. And
so nothing is more stressful than trying to cut out gluten
and
dairy.
Yes, exactly. There really is nothing more stressful. Like if I could give anybody one piece of advice, if you're not celiac, like try eating gluten and see what happens. It might not be so bad. Like if you have an intolerance, like don't eat it. But a lot of people do not need to be gluten-free.
Your nutritionists your registered dietitians would say is like, what is that gluten? Are we having a piece of sourdough mm-hmm. toast that has like avocado and cottage cheese on it? Or are you eating like a croissant in the morning that's filled with
exactly.
chocolate? Those are
exactly.
two different, you know, those are two very
two different
things.
And by the way, also having a gluten-free cookie is probably worse than having that really nice piece of sourdough bread.
Absolutely.
As well. So yeah, I think one is just like really doing the trial and error of like what works for you. So for example, like I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about like, don't run, it's going to spike your cortisol. And for some people that might be true. I personally love running. I find it really reduces my stress levels. And so for me, actually, because I love it, because I feel like it reduces my stress, like incorporating that back into my life was actually really helpful to me.
And
amazing. So I think number one was just like doing a lot of trial and error, as opposed to listening to these one-off rules, like trying things out and seeing what worked for me and what didn't. And for example, like thinking about incorporating a lot of protein throughout the day, that's something that really works for me. Like I notice a huge difference if I'm eating enough protein during the day versus if I'm not.
That's something I find that's helpful on social media. If anybody's like, can you give me advice to help manage blood sugar? Like I will say, like when I go on TikTok, it's sometimes very hard for people to think of like recipes or food ideas. Mm-hmm. Like so many of us are used to like ordering out or picking up things or not cooking. And like, how do I fill my fridge? And like, what's in my fridge? And where do I get that? Is it expensive? And meal prepping and all of that. There are so many incredible nutritious meal ideas on TikTok. I'm like,
I love TikTok recipes.
I
know.
I love it so much. If you type in PCOS high protein recipes, it's just like,
I know. Oh my God, probably great. Some of ours will come up too. We post a bunch that like some people on the team make. But yeah, I have like all these bookmarks in my TikTok
of so
like
many
different
bookmarks.
Recipes ideas. Yeah.
What else are you guys finding proves to be successful? Again, this is trial and error and should obviously be managed through a doctor. But I know that you've spoken of like, you know, there are times where like birth control is really helpful or like metformin or inositol. Like, can you speak a little bit more about those various supplementations or medications?
Yeah. So it's interesting. So I don't know what has happened in the past 2 years, but it feels like all of a sudden, like birth control became the new smoking.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like all of a sudden, like everybody's decided birth control is like this big evil. And I think in the context of a doctor saying you have an irregular period, here's some birth control and like best of luck to you. I'll see you in a year. That's not helpful. That is like not helpful to anybody. But in the right context, in the right setting, actually birth control can be a really powerful tool. Like I've been on birth control for over 10 years, I actually love it because it's the only thing that helps me with regulating my period.
Mm.
Also, the other thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is if you are not getting a period regularly, you actually either need to be on hormonal birth control or you need to have a doctor giving you progesterone every so often, because if you aren't shedding your uterine lining enough, it can increase your risk of certain women's health cancers. So these are some things that actually don't get talked about enough in the demonization of birth control, but that can be a really powerful tool.
Wow.
I know for a lot of our patients, spironolactone can be really great, and it doesn't have to be forever, but just helping kind of get you through a rough patch of your acne or issues with your hair, like that can be really helpful. And then either metformin or like an inositol.
I love metformin.
Can be really great. Yeah. I mean, some people love metformin. If you can tolerate it, that's like fantastic. I know some people can't really tolerate it, but
I did it in cream form.
Oh, interesting.
And wrapped it on my forearms. I had a doctor prescribe it through a compound pharmacy, and that made it easier for my body to absorb if
that
you want to look into
interesting.
That.
That is super interesting.
Mm-hmm. It didn't give me any side effects.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay, I'm going to look into that. I've not heard of that one, but that makes a lot of sense.
I've heard that the side effects can be just like unmanageable.
Yeah, it can be tough. So that's why, for example, for a lot of patients, like if they can't tolerate it, we'll try something like inositol, which is a supplement version that can help with your insulin management. Because again, for a lot of patients, like if you aren't helping yourself with that underlying biological issue with your insulin resistance, it is going to be really hard to lose weight and you're going to drive yourself up a wall trying to eat as healthy as you can. But there's something in your hormones that is just keeping you from it. So medication can be a really powerful tool. And then again, from supplement side, like inositol, I know like vitamin D deficiency is something a lot of patients have.
Mm.
So it's something we look at a lot. And then my biggest thing, actually, like my number one thing that I find just makes the biggest difference in my life is walking. I live in New York, so.
Walking.
Yes.
Oh my God.
At least like, I try to aim for like between 10 and 15,000 steps a day, sometimes more
if
on the weekends.
You're lucky because you live in the city. When I lived in the city, I was like, I walked everywhere.
I walk everywhere.
LA,
everywhere.
This,
it could
that's
be like
happening.
The dead of winter and I'm walking.
Same.
Like it just, I feel like it does so much for me. So yeah, I'm like the biggest walking fan. I love walking.
I mean, what it does for your metabolic health is incredible. By the way, if I'm able to get in enough steps, like I can't even tell you what that does for my digestion.
Yes.
Like my digestion is like ramped up and like actually works in a way that it's supposed to.
Especially if you could even go for like a 5 or 10 minute walk after dinner, it actually makes a huge difference in your digestion and in your blood sugar regulation of that meal too.
I always try to do that with my husband if we go out to dinner in LA, obviously, because you like drive to the restaurant, you walk to the restaurant, you leave the restaurant, you get back in your car. I'll be like, let's just like spin around the block a couple of times, especially if we're having something like sushi or something that I know has the potential to like give me a spike. I'm like, let's just like, I tell him that it's for digestion because it makes him feel better. But I do it for my blood sugar.
Yeah, it's super helpful. It's like, it's all these like little things that like you can do that are not so overwhelming to your life in the way that, say, cutting out a food group is, that I think really can make a big difference.
If you're a longtime listener, you might know that I've been drinking AG1 for like 2.5, 3 years. I started drinking AG1 daily after I asked a girlfriend of mine what was responsible for so much of her glow. And I could feel a real difference in my daily health. I had much more energy. I noticed I felt more relaxed. I noticed my skin glowing. My stomach was flatter. And that's because AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. And since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. I recommend AG1 to all my friends and family because it truly is a baseline. If you do nothing else the rest of the day for your health, you know that you have taken everything you need to give your body everything it needs. AG1 has a team of doctors and scientists. It's tested for 950 contaminants. It's NSF certified for sport. It is formulated based on the latest science and maintains the highest quality standards. I especially love AG1 and really depend on it when I'm traveling. I always post videos of like AG1 in water bottles, especially when we're in another country, because your digestion and your system gets so thrown off when you're traveling. And it's the one thing that I can do to keep right on track. AG1 is the supplement that I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. And that's why they've been a partner for so long. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Just go to drinkag1.com/best. That is drinkag1.com/best. Check it out. Boncharge is a holistic wellness brand with a huge range of evidence-based products to optimize your life in every way. It's founded on science and inspired by nature. All Boncharge products adopt ancestral ways of living in our modern day world. Their extensive range of premium wellness products help you sleep better, perform better, have more energy, recover faster, balance hormones, reduce inflammation. The list is endless. They have blue light glasses. They have infrared saunas. They have red light therapy. They have EMF management, circadian friendly lighting. Boncharge products help you naturally address the issues of our modern day way of life and with maximum impact. And let me tell you something. If you have seen me on Instagram, I am wearing that damn red light face mask every day. It helps with wrinkles and fine lines. It helps with the sore jaw, eczema, migraines, acne, scar tissue, wound healing, relaxation, any burns, ingrown facial hair. So sometimes I'll throw it on Davide's face. You just need to do 10 to 20 minutes a day. And red light therapy has been reviewed in over 4,000 peer-reviewed studies, with 400 plus being double-blind placebo trials. Not only do these studies show amazing health benefits, not one has shown any negative side effects. It's incredible. It also boosts collagen and elastin production. I like to do my 10 to 20 minutes when I'm scrolling TikTok at the end of the day. It's super lightweight. It doesn't get hot. It has zero EMF radiation. It has zero flicker. It has a sleek and lightweight design. It has a 1-year warranty. I love this thing. I literally do not go a day without it. Go to boncharge.com and use promo code BEST and you get 15% off. That is boncharge.com and use coupon code BEST. And you're going to save 15% off. What are things that you implement like on a daily basis that you found to just be like so helpful and make you feel really good?
Yeah. So I'd say number one is walking, and actually walking like first thing in the morning. So no matter what, every morning, unless like something crazy happens, I try to first thing either walk or go to a workout class, just because I feel like for me, like getting that fresh air, getting the sunlight in my eyes, although sometimes it's like still dark when I get up, and like moving first thing just makes the biggest difference in my whole day. And sometimes that's literally like a 15-minute walk, but
you're not going to get it done in the afternoon. That's just
exactly
like, it's so hard.
But also then I just feel like it's like I'm almost like more lethargic the whole day, even if I work out in the evening. It just really like sets the tone for me. So that's my biggest thing, is like getting movement in first thing, especially walking. Second thing, and I'm trying to be better about this, sometimes it's tough, but just getting enough protein in, like trying to hit closer to 100 grams of protein a day. If I'm tracking, I don't track very often, but every once in a while I'll track just to like see how I'm doing. But getting enough protein is really crucial. And then actually the other biggest thing I've noticed is trying to eat less late night. So trying to like shut down the kitchen at like, and then I actually love birth control, so I'm a big birth control fan. So that's my fourth thing.
What has it been like starting a medical company? Like, how do you, I mean, what were you doing before? I just like now after like founder questions, like what were you doing before? And like, how the hell do you gather a group of doctors and put together like a telehealth company?
Yeah. So I was working in the digital health space. I'm not a doctor, but I was working in digital health before. So after graduating business school in 2018, I joined an early stage healthcare startup here in New York that was actually one of the first ones doing kind of direct consumer healthcare online. And it was actually there that I really saw the power of bringing healthcare direct to the consumer. I think for a long time, I felt very powerless in my healthcare journey because I felt like, okay, well, the system is just doesn't work for me and there's nothing I can do. And I think working there, I really saw like when you let consumers take power into their own hands, when you let consumers make decisions themselves, it can make a massive difference in their healthcare outcomes. And so that was kind of a lot of like the learning and inspiration for me. But I will say when I started it, I think everyone thought I was crazy. Like even my dad was like,
well, especially to him, I'm sure, because he's like, this is not how this works.
Exactly. He was like, I mean, I'm really supportive. Like, I love that you care about this. But like, I mean, I don't know. And even it's so funny, the first doctor we ever hired, she joked, she was like, when you started this, I did not think that this was going to work. Like, I just thought there was no way. But then when I saw my first patient, I saw like how much patients needed this and how much they liked it. And then she was like, it was literally the first patient that made me think it was going to work. And that actually has always been the toughest part. It's never been an issue on the consumer side. Like the second I tell people what I'm doing, I get, oh my God, like I need that. My friend needs that. My sister needs that. There is like so much pent up excitement and demand for more help for these conditions. All of the questions have been on the other side of things. It's been, you know, investors not believing that this is a real problem. It's been, you know, doctors not understanding why this needs to be there. It's been even like insurance companies trying to explain to them like why you should cover these things. So that's where like, again, it's by going direct to consumer, that's been the biggest thing, was because I could go to these people and say, well, you might not believe this is a big problem, but here are the thousands and thousands of women who want help and who are actively at my door looking for help. And like, I need you to help me help them.
How do you go about communicating with insurance companies to tell them that you have a company and they need to take insurance? Like, I'm like, how does that work?
Yes, this is actually like the tough, one of the tougher parts of the whole business,
but
it was very important to me to be in network with insurance to make our care as accessible as possible and as cost effective as possible to women across the country. So partially we've gone in a little bit like backdoor, like we basically just show up and we're like, oh, we're just a OBGYN office, like nothing special about us. Just give us a contract. And that's actually worked for a bit. And now we're putting, now that we've actually had patients on the platform and can start to track data, we actually have some really interesting data findings that we're now starting to bring back to the insurers to get them to cover more things for our patients. So, you know, we can, for example, show them in our cohort of patients, we've actually seen like a very significant number of patients go from pre-diabetic to no diabetes.
Incredible.
Elevation risk. Or, you know, we can show things like even like mental health improvements in our patients. We're tracking a lot to kind of make the case for them with their insurers. And again, just continuing to make things as cost effective as possible.
I can't tell you how excited I am to use Alara after I give birth. I talked to somebody on your team about working together and I just was like, wow, like I didn't have, you know, I love my doctor.
Yeah.
I can't wait for her to deliver my baby. I love visiting her. I like miss her. Like, I'm just like, I love Dr. Barnes. She's fucking fantastic. She's like such a wonderful woman. We yeah. have like such great rapport with her. She's great bedside manner. Like, I love her, but she is a busy young woman mm-hmm. who's trying, you know, who works at a, in an office where my mom delivered me. This is like a very old school office in my town. Yeah. And that extra, you know, those extra steps aren't happening. And I do not blame her for them. So yeah. what I will be doing is using Ilaria postpartum to make sure that I am doing what I need to do and able to go to her and say, hey, you know, like what you guys allow, which is so great, is like that integration, right? So I yeah, can fully exactly. use your team, which is incredible. And I could also use the results to advocate for myself yeah. for her, because I know that that 6 week checkup is just going to be like, are your stitches healing? How do you mm-hmm. feel? Sure, you can work out now. But it's not going to be, are you losing weight? Because I didn't lose any weight. A pound did not fall off my body for six to 8 months after I gave birth last time. That's not normal. And it has nothing to do with me being weird about weight gain or having body issues. Being heavy and tired and feeling like I can't show up for my child and going on a walk felt like I was climbing up a hill is not normal. So that's a symptom, obviously, yeah. right? But like, no one was flagging that by any means. So I can't yeah. tell you how thankful I am, knowing that I'm going to be well taken care of with Ilaria postpartum. And I can't tell you how thankful I am to be able to recommend something for people, because I cannot, like, it's endless questions of where do I go to handle my PCOS? And I have never been able to give anybody yeah. a place to go.
Yes. That's literally why I built this, because I didn't have a place to go who was like a PCOS specialist. And so I just literally just built what I needed, which was a place where you can go if you need a PCOS specialist, a hypothyroid specialist, a, you know, women's complex healthcare specialist. And yeah, exactly what you said is so right. Like, we are not built to replace your OBGYN. We are not like doing that primary care checkup. We're not doing OB care. We really are that specialty care layer add-on to your OBGYN. And so it's really built to work kind of on top of the existing health system as opposed to replace anything in it.
I also want to say we've been speaking so heavily about PCOS because it's specific to us, but mm-hmm. you know, you guys are helping people just with, by the way, I know everyone says like we should manage our hormones, but that really is not like a thing.
Yes.
It should be like, what are your symptoms? And then like working backwards to see what's going on and like fixing it that way, right?
Yeah, exactly. So again, it's so funny. We always debate like, what exactly do we call ourselves? Because hormonal healthcare is such like a, it's kind of like a, such a meaningless thing right now. Yes, there's no such thing as balancing your hormones, but there are chronic hormonal health and chronic gynecologic health conditions that do need to be managed. And there are several are just kind of things going on with your hormones that may be making you not feel your best. And so we can deal with that kind of wide range of needs for people. So we help patients manage everything from, you know, like I said, chronic health conditions like PCOS, like endometriosis, like hypothyroidism. And we help with a lot of those kind of, it doesn't necessarily fall into a bucket, but maybe you have metabolic health syndrome, where maybe your insulin levels, you have insulin resistance, but you don't have PCOS. All of these things that right now are really getting lost in the cracks in our health system. Those are really all of the conditions and care needs that we're helping women with.
And by the way, you're labeling these things, but a lot of women I think are just like, I'm bloated, I'm tired, I can't focus, I can't lose weight, I have acne, my periods are weird. Like, those are all the symptoms that
exactly
you should be advocating for.
And women come to us like, from both perspectives, they either come to us and say, I got diagnosed with, you know, hypothyroidism 5 years ago and I haven't found good ongoing care. Or they come exactly like you said, I have acne, I'm bloated, like things don't make sense in my body. Can you help me figure it out? And we can help in either of those cases, because if you don't have a diagnosis, we'll run all the tests that you need to help you figure out what's going on.
Thank you so much for speaking to me today. I'm so excited to have met you. What you're building is absolutely life-changing for so many. And I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much. And likewise, I think, you know, all the advocacy and speaking that you've done on your PCOS and health journey is so valuable to women. And so, you know, I'm just so excited to meet you and connect and be on this journey together.
Great. Thank you. And everything will be linked in the description of this episode, where to find you, where to find Ilaria, how to sign up and all of that. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes this week's episode of Everything is the Best. I hope you enjoyed it. Please rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. Maybe leave a comment. But remember, shitty comments are for shitty people. Go ahead and follow me on Instagram at Pia Barangini. And I hope you have a fabulous, fabulous rest of your day. Love you. Ciao.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.